And now...
First interruption of 2018.
Fucking piece of shit.
And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
Shut up!
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmit, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
La-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 154, first Sunday, January 14th, 2018, the year in review for 2017. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Hanging with Heavy, better yet, Wrestling Cheers, Spanish Announce Table, and The Tuts Experience. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. Oldschoolmovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. Oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet me at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M, a la cocktacular. Contact information is back. Don't be shy. Send me an email. Send me a tweet. Let me know what you're watching this weekend. Our panelists, first off, Mr. Heavyset is right here.
If there's a need for a rescue mission, when the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's asked to kick.
I want to know why we're reviewing urine.
The urine review, that's a Canadian accent for you. We've also got Killer Carpe Diem.
Dude, where's my car? Where's your car, dude?
Is it going too fast?
Have you been hanging out with Will? Because you kept mentioning cock a lot.
I knew he was going to fuck. I knew one of you two fuckers is going to bring it up. You can't let one thing slip in this environment without getting fucking blasted for it.
Well, of course not, because then it ends up on the internet. It doesn't land up on the internet.
Whoa. Old school. Not so fast.
Okay. Well, what else are you going to shit on me for? Go.
I mean, hey, you got to stop being the bigger man here.
Actually, hold on. Literally, I might not be the bigger man right now. That's true. So what are you going to shit on me? Go ahead, Heavy.
Having the speeding ticket. I mean, that's number one.
Ah, you fucker. Yeah, I got it in the mail finally. $320 Canadian all in, including fees. Motherfucking Buffalo, New York.
West Seneca, New York.
West Seneca. They got like a blizzard or something. Good. Fuck you. That's what you get for giving me a ticket.
And on a side note, since we've done All Beer Inside, we all seen each other, and you guys brought down all the snacks.
Yep.
I want to give a public reaction to what you brought us.
Hands down, cool. Yeah. Let's get your foodie review. Go for it.
Hands down, the best thing in that box was the Joe Luis and the Mae West.
Mae West. Yeah.
God, those things are so fucking. I will trade every Little Debbie snack cake to get those here in America.
Well, we could hook you up, man. We could hook you up.
I think those were hands down the best thing in the box. I posted them all on Facebook and got a lot of reactions. A lot of people loved the Mr. Big Bar.
Okay, yeah.
I'm trying to pull up real quick the picture of everything.
Stupid question. Do you guys have O'Henry?
Yeah, we have O'Henry.
Okay, yeah, because that's probably my top chocolate bar. I'm trying to think. A candy bar. You guys say candy bar. I'm trying to think. What's your top candy bar?
Oh, Super Coffee Crisp.
Yeah.
Coffee Crisp. I love that.
And Wonder Bar. I'm a fan of Wonder Bar.
Yeah, Wonder Bar solid, yeah. I think I got to go with the O'Henry. I like the peanuts and chocolate combo.
Super Passion Flaky was very good.
Okay.
Though after we ate it, someone gave us a suggestion. It was one of the Canadian wrestlers that I sent the picture to. Said, try it warmed up. I was like, motherfucker, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, that would have been good, actually. Like 10 seconds in the microwave.
I was a little upset with the Glossettes.
Okay. Both? The peanuts and the raisin?
And I think I got them almond as well.
You did get almond. I'm not an almond person. That was more for Amanda, my girlfriend. I do love raisins, though. I prefer our Raisinets a lot better.
Okay.
I don't know what it was. It just, yeah.
And our Smarties.
I mean, I already had your Smarties. Okay. I wanted to get the box instead of the overpriced, like, not really a roll, but it's like it's in a cylinder. Nowhere near as much. I did do the taste test on the barbecue.
Okay.
And? There is a legit taste difference.
No, there is, for sure.
And it's crazy because, wow, it took us a couple of weeks to finally get some chicken nuggets and get their barbecue, our barbecue, and try them, you know, back to back. And you could taste the difference. I think it was yours was sweeter. Ours was tangier.
Which, if you had to choose one, which would you prefer?
Oh, part of me wants to say Canadian.
Okay.
We have yet to try the maple syrup.
Okay.
But we were at the big import store that you can go here called World Market. And that's where I get a lot of import food. They had Vermont maple syrup.
Okay.
we bought a little bottle of that. And that's our next taste test when we buy
Vermont waffles. Versus Quebec. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to try the different. And you could Canada's, your Canadian maple syrup is darker than the Vermont. So that was something we noticed right off the bat. They're almost in the same bottle, the whole maple leaf clear glass bottle, but the Vermont one is a little smaller, but it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
I, of course, love the Mad Dog Monster, but we had that here before, and it's just great having it back. Hickory sticks were, they're okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys can eat the Macintosh. Those things are fucking
impossible.
Fuck. I was like, how the fuck am I supposed to eat this without biting?
Yeah. No, that's it's a mouth destroyer, that candy.
We have yet to try the maple lollipop, but since you guys gave us the little candies, like we tried those were good.
Yeah.
But just hands down, the best, ranking at number one, Joe Louis May West.
Carb, can we ship him some or something?
I'm not sure. Did I get you the Super Joe Louis or just the regular Joe Louis?
Super.
Okay, yeah. So that's basically two Joe Louis stacked into one.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it comes from a bakery called Vachon from here. It's a fucking, they got all these crazy fucking things. Half moons.
The caramel is super tasty.
Yeah, we should, next time, next time we're going to be close to you, maybe if we meet you somewhere like Niagara Falls or something. Well, at that point you'll be in Canada, but if we can meet you close to the border or something, we'll get you like all of the Vachon's line of shit, and it's all fucking crack. It's like literally crack. It's amazing.
I have on my new, not necessarily news resolution, I have always have like goals that I want to set for the year. And for this will be the third year running that I've had it where I want to get my passport.
Okay.
And if we do get our passport, there's two trips that I want to go on. It's either I want to go to Niagara Falls if we do get it, and then if we don't, Chicago.
Okay.
And I really like to do Niagara. It's all going to depend on how shit goes the rest of the year. Because, like, for those who don't know, because I haven't really done Hang With Heavy, I moved at the end of the year. We got a nice two-bedroom apartment, and I'm now in my own, like, office with better internet, so I probably do sound better. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you hit Niagara, I should be able to meet you there, because I got a friend that lives in Toronto, which is about 2 hours away, so I could make, like, a double trip or something. I'm sure we can get that.
This would be fun to do. Imagine if we could go see a Jays game, but if planned right, the Jays versus the Indians.
Yeah, I'm down. I can do that.
I gotta talk to the significant other about that one.
Cool. All right. So there's your candy fucking recap there. An American's point of view on Canadian delicacies.
If you haven't listened to the episode of All Beer Inside, check it out.
Yeah. We finally fucking meet face to face for the first time 5 years.
It was a great day.
Yeah.
And then after we did the recording, we went to go see the room live. It's all live viewing, but, you know, you have
It was cool.
The interactive.
Yeah, because it was my first ever live screening of the room with the crowd getting into it. I had to duck a few times for the spoons there, but it was fine. Who cares? It's a plastic spoon.
So I was listening to somebody who was interviewing Sestero.
Okay.
And he says, like, when they go to screenings now, people bring small dollar store umbrellas so that when they're chucking the spoons, they can cover their heads.
That's amazing. I mean, it's a plastic spoon. Who gives a shit? But it's fun. You know,
the fun thing is if you sit towards the middle of the theater, you only need to bring a couple spoons.
Yeah, because you catch them all.
Yeah, eventually. Because, I mean, that's what we did.
Yeah.
After the first couple of spoon throws, it was like all of a sudden now there's a bunch of spoons around us. And I had a friend go to one, I think it was past weekend, and it looked like they had a lot more spoons around him. Because I took a picture of like what the floor looked like,
yep.
all the spoons. His look like triple that. So,
and you know what? It's almost like its own performance. Because you got people in the crowd, they've seen it so many times, they kind of know when to time it to scream something out that's funny. And I had the thing where Tommy Wiseau, like after his first sex scene, it looks like he keeps coming. So I'm like, he's still coming, he's still coming, he's still coming. And then people just like say random shit throughout the movie. And I'm sure they've timed it perfectly. So it's almost its like own performance that the audience is part of. And not to mention all the extra stuff, like where if they say best, you know, because they say, oh, Johnny's my best friend. Everybody goes, best friend. And there's like there's all this interactive shit that people will do when they do like B-roll footage when they're panning the camera. Yes. All the crowd, like to get from one end to the bridge to the other, they're all like, oh. And then they start cheer if it goes and they boo if it does. It just, it's its own fucking like craziness. I can't explain it. But if you've seen The Room, you have to go to one of these screenings. It is amazing.
I do think it's funny in the since the podcast, my girlfriend, not necessarily been obsessed, but she'll, like, I don't know whether she's quoting The Room or The Disaster Artist. Because there's times that, like, I'll answer the phone, I'll go, well, hi, Mark.
I'm telling you, it's addictive. It gets you fucking, literally. No, it gets you into this movie. Like, you have to. Heavy, what was it for you? Because we did the screening, that like live commentary, about a year ago or 2 years ago. You didn't seem too into it, but then something snapped and you got a little bit obsessed, I found. Like, what was the turning point for you?
It was basically when we ended it, you said, or Cock Talk said, that you're going to get obsessed with it. And I was like, no, I'm not. And then there was a handful of things that were said in the commentary that we did that were from the book.
Yeah.
So it made me wonder about things. And then I went and watched the Nostalgia Critic's review on it, a couple other things on it. And it was one of those things that crept on me little by little by little.
It does, man. If you're any kind of enthusiast, any kind of geek that literally likes to tear shit down and know more about the back end or just all that kind of stuff, this is your go-to movie. You and like heavy, like me, from Will, actually. Will got me into the movie. Anybody who just will, and you know, maybe The Disaster Artist is a good segue if you're just a casual and you're not a huge fan. And then that might get you into it. There's so many ways. The book from Greg Sestero as well, really in depth. And you don't need to know about the movie. It's literally a general story of a guy just trying to make it in Hollywood and the craziness that ensues. But however you find your way to this movie, you will become obsessed. It is, like people say, The Citizen Kane of bad movies. We've mentioned it on multiple podcasts. So if today's the day, go out and fucking, you have to go to a public screening or watch it with somebody who's watched it already. They'll kind of get you up to speed. Because if you watch it the first time by yourself, you're going to be like, the fuck is this? But after a while, like you watch it with somebody, then maybe you read the book, or you watch a, you go to a public screening, you're going to become obsessed, like Heavy and I. And I think even Carp. Carp's not on our level, but I think Disaster Art has got you into it a bit as well, right?
It certainly helped, I think, being with the live crowd for the first experience. But, you know, I'm an animated person. I go to film festivals like Fantasia once a year, where I expect that kind of crowd. So I think if I just sat here and watched by myself, I probably would have gone about punching you in the face after for making me watch that.
Absolutely.
Maybe not punching the face, since we're all lovey-dovey now. Since
yeah,
we
no,
bonded.
We're the bromance now, dude.
But you know, it was a fun experience. I would honestly love to bring you to the performance piece of Rocky Horror Picture Show next year if you have the availability.
Yeah, well, what's great is I had issues previously going in, like Fantasia, for example. They have they screen it. It's very small seating. So
I have problems sitting there, and the issue is where they screen it.
Yeah.
If they were to do it at a regular cinema, that'd be one thing. Or even an old school cinema where the seats are a little larger, but it's because it's done in basically a film room classroom. So
okay, let's get into it. The top five movies, our top five movies of 2017. Carp, would you like to? Actually, we got to go with the Iron Man first. Heavy set, you want to start?
All right, fine, I'll go.
Do it. Let's get your top five 2017, and perhaps even some honorable mentions.
I didn't set up honorable mentions. Off the top of my head, ones that I've seen that aren't on this list. Baby Driver's one.
Yeah.
Thor Ragnarok. Maybe Wonder Woman. That's all I can think of off the top of my head that I don't have on this list. That was really good. Oh, and movie that I've seen since we last had a proper episode is, what the fuck, the Murder on the Train movie.
Murder on the Orient Express?
Yes. Very good movie, and I'm excited that they are coming out with a sequel that I guess was a book, too. I guess it's a book series. So that's going to be fun. Number five for me is, and you want me to like stop between each one?
However you want to do it, but you have the floor for the five.
Okay, number five is a tie. Originally, I put down just Guardians of the Galaxy 2, as in I thought that was a great movie. It was, to me, better than the first one, but it's not by much. They're very much on the same playing field, but if I had to put one in front of the other, it'd be two before one. And I think the five post-credit scenes were fun. The whole movie was great. There was a lot of character development in the movie, and my favorite Marvel movie of the year, beating out Thor Ragnarok. But I'm tying it with another movie that I totally forgot about, came out this year, came out early in the year, hands down one of my favorite movies of the year, obviously because it's number five, Lego Batman, because they had so much crammed into this one movie, and it was actually because of this movie that my girlfriend got interested in Batman. And since then, we've watched the Nolan series, and we still have to watch the original four movies. And she's a big Tim Burton fan. So the first two, she's going to love, hands down. I can't wait till we get to that. Do you guys have any thoughts on those two movies?
Lego Batman. Wow, man. That's it. For that to get into Batman, I think that's really interesting. I've actually never heard that before.
She wasn't into the like a lot of the comic book movies. Like, she liked Thor, but that was it. And then I know we went through all the Marvel movies early in our relationship, and she started to love Iron Man more. So I know that was one thing where her, I introduced her to Deadpool. She had no idea who the hell Deadpool was. And after she's seen the trailer, I showed it to her. I'm like, well, we're going to go see this on Valentine's Day. She goes, okay, yeah, that looks like a fun movie. And now she loves Deadpool. So I'm the one that like introduces her to some of those things.
I personally didn't see Lego Batman, unfortunately, at the moment. For Guardians, it's in my honorable mention. So it's definitely one of the, you know, if we'd done a top 10, it'd be in there. I still enjoyed it. So.
Number four for me, another movie that came out early in the year. It was building a universe, connecting it to one other movie. And I'm really excited to what's going to happen next is Split. It's another movie that my girlfriend and I will quote from time to time. It sounds weird, like only one and a half times. I saw it once at the theater, and then one day it was on TV, and we watched like majority of it. So I thought that was a really fun movie. Did you guys see Split or no?
I did. I really liked it. I completely actually forgot it came out this year because it was early winter, right?
Yeah, I think we've seen it at some point first quarter, I believe.
Yeah, so I probably ended up lumping it in with like movies I believe I saw last year. Definitely a great movie. Looking forward to seeing Glass, I believe is the early working title.
Yeah. How about you, Old School?
Fortunately, I have not seen it. This has been a bad year for movies for me. I got to catch up on a lot, yeah.
I would say it's not like that you host a movie podcast, but technically...
Well, I kind of do now, I got my New Year's resolution is to get a lot more movies in this year, so I'm looking forward to it.
Number three is a movie that I'm sure... Actually, no. I know for a fact all three of us seen, and that is Disaster Artist.
Yeah, for sure. We were in the fucking theater with those reclining seats. Drinking my Icy.
Well, so we could talk about this on here. Old School and Carp were in love with our movie.
It's got fat guy leg room. Not just regular good leg room. Tall
fat guy leg room.
Yeah. It's amazing.
What did you guys rate that movie? Because we did a whole thing of how we were going to talk about rating or before the movie came out, and you didn't post the episode until like after.
Because it's on my top five too. I want to talk about it. So I'll just give you a number, but I give it I'll tell you why I give it the number later, but I give it a 9.
How about you, Carp?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. Definitely I'm thinking the cinema helped my experience too, because of, you know, the super comfortable seats and all that other stuff. I gave it an 8, but it's not really in my top five this year.
I gave it technically a 9 because on the site that I use, I gave it a 4.5. So that's out of 5. So up to 9. Also throwing these reviews out there really quick because we haven't done episodes in a while. I've seen Jumanji, fun movie. There's a nice little homage to the Robin Williams character, and kind of teared me up a little bit of how they worked it in. They did an okay job at transitioning from not necessarily the original, but you know, the one from the 90s and this one. It's because it's not really a remake, but it's them repurposing it, and they actually explain how it goes from a board game to a video game. So I give them credit, and it kind of seems like there's not going to be a sequel. And I love how they ended it. Another movie that I happen to go see is Bad Moms Christmas. Fun fact about this episode, or not episode, but about this movie, I had a bad tooth, and before this movie started or early during the previews, I bit on a popcorn and it aggravated my tooth.
Ew.
So most of the movie, I was in total discomfort, and I looked at it. It's almost a female version of Daddy's Home 2, and I prefer Daddy's Home 2. I gave it, out of 5, I gave it a 2.
Jeez.
We're talking a 4 out of 10. 4 out of 10 at best. And then Star Wars.
Okay, should we just agree now to switch it to 5? Because I think the standard is 5. I don't know why I went to 10. But like Rotten Tomatoes, it's more, I think it's 100 or whatever. But I think most...
Well, it's not a percentage, but Rotten Tomatoes takes all the different criticisms and like combines them. Because like some people do stars, some people do a letter grade, and they just kind of like combine them. Like,
yeah,
okay.
I think we should switch it to 5. Carp, what do you think? It's more...
It's your show, dude. Stand.
Yeah, fuck it.
I mean, look, I use 5 because of Untappd on all beer inside. So.
Yeah, we're changing it heavy. We're going to 5.
So my Rotten Tomato or my Flixster ratings will get to stand as whole. The last movie that I just want to quickly review, even though we could get into a conversation afterwards, I'll just say Star Wars The Last Jedi, 3 out of 5. Moving back to my list, number 2 for me was It.
Wow, not number 1. Oh, okay, I know why. Forget it.
Well, I mean, what do you think you know what number 1 is?
Yeah, Jigsaw.
No.
Oh, wow, okay.
No, It is number 1 because I think it was better than the original. And I can't say I don't think there's flaws, but they took a TV movie from the 90s, which granted I know it was a book before, but everybody was familiar with that material. They were familiar with Tim Curry's Pennywise. I prefer this Pennywise because he's just so creepy, and some of the things that he does actually makes him seem more like an alien than anything. And they do dive a little bit into some of the other things that happened in the book that a television miniseries couldn't get to in the early 90s. As of this recording, it came out yesterday on Blu-ray, and I am planning on buying it, and my girlfriend is going to hate me.
Oh wow. So, she fucking hates clowns and the B word. We're not going to say it.
Yeah, she doesn't listen to this. Thoughts on It?
Have not seen it. Will not see it. I don't like scary movies. I'm a big pussy. Thanks, bye.
It's my number 5, so I guess I'll give my breakdown. So Tim Curry was guy playing a killer clown named Pennywise. Bill Skarsgård was playing a creature that's playing Pennywise the Dancing Clown with all like the ticks and like his mouth salivating with Georgie at the beginning.
It's so good.
Skarsgård did such a phenomenal job. There's a reason it is in my top 5. I really enjoyed it. Like, it even got me when he comes out of they show it in the trailer.
Okay, I was wondering where you're going with that.
They show it in the trailer so they can't shit on it. When he comes out of the snapshot screen thing and he starts like attacking them in the garage, like that fucking freaked me out. The house and getting to each kid's fear. It was, you know, it was really, really well done remake. I'm super looking forward to the sequel when it comes out next year, probably. I guess it would just depend on the cast, and the rumor casting right now, the cast looks phenomenal. So it's my number 5, and being heavy is number 2. So.
I can't believe you thought my number 1 was going to be Jigsaw.
It's not even in my honorables.
I figure you're going to go the Kebbo trick route and just like suck off all your favorite franchises.
No, I gave that pulling up my ratings, I gave that a 3.5. Like, I liked it, but actually, no, that was Saw 5. Hold on. Where's Jigsaw? Well, I gave it a 4. But I gave it, that was more from a fan side, not from a more critical side. My number 1 is a movie that wasn't the highest rated movie that I had of the year, because I actually technically had it as a perfect 5-star. This one I had ranked a 4.5, and that's Coco, because I didn't have much expectation coming in at first. I mean, when I pay attention to Disney Pixar and the movies that they come out with. Some are, you know, franchise related, such as Cars and Toy Story 2, but they always tend to come out with these other movies that you know nothing coming in, and you're actually told its own individual story, such as Up, such as WALL-E. And Coco did that. And there's a main song that's used throughout the movie. It's called Remember Me. There's on the soundtrack, there's 4 different versions, the 4th being actually just a version that they use for the credits, but 3 in the actual movie. The 3rd one, if I hear it, can kind of bring a tear to my eye because of where it's placed in the movie and everything. The visuals are amazing. There's a couple plot twists that I didn't necessarily see coming, and just so good. Like I said before, if you like Pixar movies, you like animated movies, this hands down the best of the year, and I ranked it number one just because how Pixar can take these titles that no one has any interest going into, it's like WALL-E and Up, and just tell these amazing stories. So good.
Awesome. I was not expecting that. But it's true. These movies do appeal to just more than kids. You know, I mean, they have great stories to them. They're extremely well produced. A lot of money gets put into it so that the adults and the kids alike will enjoy them. So, wow. Awesome. I'm probably going to have to check this out now based on your recommendation. And I'm not really an animated movie guy, but I've seen a couple of them. So I will definitely put that on my short list. Carp, let's get your top five.
Just quick honorable mentions. Mayhem and Another Wolf Cop during Fantasia. Great crowd interaction. Both great movies. If you're into genre films, check them out.
But will they enjoy them without the crowd interaction?
I think Mayhem, it was really good, and you should give it a check out, especially if you're a fan of Steven Yeun from Walking Dead. Another honorable mention, John Wick Chapter 2. Just awesome John Wick violence, plus filmed in Montreal. That was cool. Baby Driver, good movie. Didn't quite make my top five. And then Guardians 2 and Wonder Woman, my comic book movies, but still missing out on my top five. As I already mentioned, number five was It. I already gave it a glowing review, so we'll skip that. Number four, Thor Ragnarok. Absolutely loved this movie. How it just built on the Marvel Universe, how it's going to be putting everything together for the movie that's coming out May 4th of 2018 called Avengers Infinity War. I cannot wait. Just from everything, Chris Hemsworth comedic, you know, I'm thinking Taika Waititi, when he saw Chris Hemsworth on SNL, said, hey, I'm going to get him to do some comedy stuff in Thor Ragnarok. Pulled off the comedy well. Even the demon that he's talking to, Clancy Brown's voicing him. Perfect voice acting. Hela, great job as the supervillain. Villainous. Loki, just being Loki. And even Goldblum, man, as the Game Master. Just, this isn't a melting stick offense. Why are you giving me the melting stick? I don't want to melt them. I just want to punish them. It's perfect Jeff Goldblum. It was a great movie. Absolutely love Thor Ragnarok. Totally looking forward for the rest of Marvel that's coming out this year, which we'll mention later on. Number three, Get Out. Amazing. Wow. Could not believe how great it was. It was just such a change from a typical horror movie. I'm almost at a loss for words for how good it was. But
is it really in the creep factor? Like, will it scare the shit out of you? Or is it just the suspense? Or like, what really?
Suspense, it's like, well, why is this happening? And why are, like, they show you in the trailer, it's like all of a sudden the black guys are acting like old white people. It's like, well, why is this? And then you're finding out why. And the story builds along and you're like, holy shit, that's amazing. Kind of a twist ending, half twist ending that catches you off guard. And you're like, oh, this was awesome. Even the antagonist there, the creepy son, you know, the guy's just playing a creep the entire time. It's everything's screaming at this guy to get the fuck out of this situation. But he doesn't. It's almost like, oh, hey, all these camp counselors were murdered for sex and drugs 30 years ago. Oh, let's go party and do sex and drugs.
Yeah, man, what's going to happen, man?
It's an amazing film. Can't say enough. One of my favorite horror movies. Don't know if he may be able to make a sequel. Definitely, though, I will be checking out Peele's next film that he writes and directs. Hands down, for sure. Go check out Get Out if you haven't already. Two, Star Wars Last Jedi. It was a change. It was still Star Wars. It was still amazing. I actually got to put Star Wars on a top five list since you did this late enough this year.
Yeah.
I could see people's complaints about it, but as a Star Wars fan, super happy with it. No complaints. At first, I was like, man, it was weird. And then I kept thinking about it more and thinking about it more. And I'm like, you know what? It was really good. And Disney, with the machine that they are, they're like, hey, let's introduce these cute little bird furry things and sell $1 billion worth of them, those porgs. So really, really like Star Wars Last Jedi. Super looking forward to the finale of the, the Skywalker storyline. And number one, The Shape of Water. So good.
You are all over this fucking movie.
Absolutely love this movie. Sally Hawkins as a mute, amazing job. Even the guy in the amphibian suit, Jug Jones, great. Creature effects, amazing. Michael Shannon as the antagonist, unbelievable. Richard Jennings as the protagonist's friend who helps her out, really good. It's like a spy thriller, creature feature, romance, drama. It's all these genres put together and somehow perfect an amalgamation of a movie. Just everything from how it's shot to how it looks to how the main actors act in it. It was amazing. You got to see The Shape of Water. Best film I've seen this year, hands down.
Okay, that's also on my list. Gonna have some movie watching to do this weekend. All right, my top five honorable mentions would be John Wick 2 as well, just for the fucking headshots and the craziness. And Star Wars also gets an honorable mention. Not quite sure why people are shitting on it. I actually liked this movie. Kylo Ren, or the actor that plays Kylo Ren, fucking phenomenal. Really branched out and just fleshed out this character, the vulnerability of, you know, he's kind of like pretending to be good. Actually, I want to ask you guys a question, because Charlie and I had a bit of an argument regarding Kylo Ren. I thought that him trying to... Have you seen Star Wars?
I gave it a rating earlier.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, okay.
Maybe you should listen to your co-host.
No, I just have short-term memory loss. It's a byproduct of fasting. Okay, so Kylo Ren. I believe that him talking to Rey, all that was all to kill that fucking head bad guy, whatever that fucking Duke, whatever the fuck his name is.
Snoke,
that's it. It was just to overthrow his ass, take him out, and then take over. Like, none of it was legitimate. Like, I was concerned, or he was, like, tweening. He was going to turn good. It was all to fucking convince Rey to help him out. Do you agree?
I think he's trying to turn her just like, you know, Vader tried to turn his son. Yeah. Just like how Vader originally got turned in the prequels, well, in Chapter 3. I think it was just because he's realizing how powerful she is, and he wants her on his side. So
there's no, like, in your opinion... There's no legitimate him wanting to be good, or like him worrying about it. No, that's what I thought too. It was like all a fucking ploy to get her to turn.
Now here's my other issues with, as powerful as Snoke is supposed to be, I know they're only borrowing very limited source material from the original books. Snoke is almost immortal. So just him getting sliced in half, he should have been able to just put himself back together, which is really weird. So I'm wondering if, you know, why did he get taken out so easily? That's what's getting to me. So I'm wondering if he'll put himself back together, and then that's where you're going to try and maybe get... But then I'm thinking about the next movie already, so maybe I should stop.
Yeah, you don't overdo it. Anyways, honorable mention for Star Wars. Okay, my number five is a local movie called Bone Cop Bad Cop 2. Now, for me, it's more of a nostalgic ploy, but I'll say that I did enjoy the movie regardless of it just, you know... There was too much of a gap between the first and the second one. It was just them trying to find a budget, but I still really enjoyed the throwback. The buddy cop Ontario Quebec comedy. So I won't spend too much time on it because I don't think many Americans will watch it because it's half in French and half in English. But it had one of the most powerfully acted scenes that I've ever watched on film between Colm Feore and the other guy. just when they're in
talking about Ouard or whatever.
Yeah, Patrick Ouard. When they're in like an interrogation room, and he's telling him that he's got Lou Gehrig's disease. Like, it was so fucking powerful, man. I almost literally started sobbing in the theater. I'm like holding back tears, drinking my fucking Coke. It was crazy. But it was just a nice, fun throwback. Buddy comedy. You don't see a lot of action movies local here because of budgetary reasons. So it was nice to see that. The original one was the highest grossing movie in Canadian history, so which was kind of cool. That's my number five. Number four is Wonder Woman. At the time, I thought it would be saving the DC universe. Unfortunately, Justice League happened. But at the time, it was a nice fresh change from the kind of not so great performing movies out of the DC universe. Apart from the anti-male theme, you know, I thought it was well done. Gal Gadot fucking owned Wonder Woman role.
By the way, Bone Cop, Bad Cop?
Yeah.
It's not considered the highest rated Canadian movie of all time. It's actually third behind My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
No, Gross? Gross?
And Porky's. No, Porky's made $111 million.
No, I'm talking about revenue in Canada specifically. It was number one. It beat Porky's.
But Porky's is one of the highest.
It's the highest grossing overall, but highest grossing in Canada specifically is Bone Cop, Bad Cop.
Okay, continue.
Yeah. Number three, Spider-Man Homecoming. I'm a huge fan of Spider-Man in general, especially as a kid. It was pretty much the only comic I actually read. I was not a huge fan of even just introducing Andrew Garfield, so I pretty much skipped that generation, but absolutely adore Tom Holland in the role. He's my favorite actor that's portrayed Spider-Man thus far of the three. And Michael Keaton's portrayal of Vulture was amazing. He was my favorite performance of him in a movie ever. And that's including Batman, because I hated him as Batman. I thought him as Vulture was great. Vulture, as a kid, Vulture was my favorite villain. So it was nice to see them update it. And even just like the references to modernizing it, to like having him film stuff for like YouTube and shit. You know, it just, and them playing him as a younger Spider-Man, I thought was good too. My favorite scene, and I mentioned this on my review, was when Michael Keaton and Tom Holland were in the car and they kind of found out that, oh, he's Vulture and he's Spider-Man. And just like that, just the tension between the two is amazing. Definitely my favorite Spider-Man thus far. Awesome that the Marvel Universe has the rights to him now. My number two, go ahead.
What I also enjoyed about that was they actually finally had a teenager playing a fucking teenager.
You know, fucking obvious.
Not a 35-year-old adult playing a 17-year-old. Like,
yeah, I thought he did a great job, too.
Oh, he's best Spider-Man to date.
Have you seen... Oh, no, you don't like Spider-Man. Yeah.
I still seen it.
Okay, well, let's get your thoughts.
The problem with that movie is Spider-Man has no consequences for his actions. Everything he does, there's no consequence.
Oh, so you mean more like you want like a Superman, like he blew the town up so they arrested him.
No, like everything that he does... There's no consequences for it. Like, there's an article that I read that proves this point. If I can find it, I will send it to you. I got it from Canadian wrestler Ethan Page, because we were talking about it. And he was like, you'll see where I'm coming from. And then I was like, oh, my God, it's so true. When they're robbing the bank thing, there's like no consequences for a lot of his actions.
Interesting. I'd never even thought of that. Send me the article. I'll check it out. My number two, Disaster Artist. It held up. You know, there was a lot of expectations on this movie because of so many passionate fans of The Room. And, you know, James Franco is not my favorite actor. And like, could he pull off a Tommy Wiseau? He fucking nailed it. This guy, he method acted into the role. He put everything into this role. He listened back to like hours of footage and tapes that Tommy did to get that accent down. And he fucking nailed it. Like, just amazing. And apparently he method directed as well as Tommy Wiseau, as he was directing people as Tommy Wiseau. And you could see it. All that work paid off because he pulled off an amazing performance, won a Golden Globe. Not going to talk about all the other allegations because that's still up in the air. I just want to talk about his acting ability, and it's fantastic. It was cool to see Wiseau got a cameo at the end, in the end credits. Even his brother, Dave Franco, did pretty good as Greg, although he played him a little too goody-two-shoes, but I enjoyed it. And if I'm nitpicking, you know, there's a couple things that they changed that wasn't in the book, but it's a movie, so I kind of let that go by the wayside. I was okay with it. My number two. And surprisingly, well, I know you already talked about it, Heavy. Carp, do you want to talk about Disaster Artist a bit?
I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. We kind of already spoke about it for a bit.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, yeah. Here's
my thing is you're complaining about something that came from a book material.
Well, that's, like, again, very lightly.
In it,
yeah.
The way it ends is they kind of hug. In the book, they fuck. So.
Right.
They're like 10-year-old. It's a 10-year-old orgy in the book.
Right.
You know.
Well, yeah. I can see why they left that out. But for sure, listen, there's going to be liberties taken to make it a more entertaining movie. It was just a minor criticism, but, you know, it's all good. My number one. Is Baby Driver. And I didn't think it'd be my number one, but at the end of this movie, I came out thoroughly entertained. Just going in from the reviews of friends who said, you have to fucking see this movie. So I was in Vancouver. I had a couple hours to kill. And so I went in the movie theater there and was blown away at how good it was. To me, I've said this in a review, I'll repeat, the best adaptation from music into a film, integration of music in the film, the best soundtrack. Just like the gunshots were on the beats. It was just, and you could see like the main character, I always forget the dude's name, but just how like he played this guy who was half deaf with his iPod in his ear. And just you see the integration of music. And I don't know if you could enjoy it as much on the small screen, having that big, those big fucking speakers just getting you into it, man. And I was like just jumping on my seat. Like I've never thoroughly enjoyed a movie experience like this in a long time. Kevin Spacey, John Hamm, and especially Jamie Foxx as the antagonists. Amazing. You fucking hated Jamie Foxx in this movie. I love it. I mean, the story wasn't the greatest, but it was just a fun movie to go watch. And Although you probably won't get the same experience unless you have a good sound system, I definitely recommend you check it out on a download or Blu-ray if you haven't. This is my number one for the year. All right, 2018 movies coming up. Let's get the ones we're anticipating. I know I'll start with Heavy because I know where he's going first, so you might as well throw it out there.
In time, you'll know what it's like to lose, to feel so desperate that you're right, and to fail all in the same.
Dread it. Run from it. Destiny still arrives. Oh, fuck, what's the idea?
Dude!
And I've been quoting it a lot, actually, whenever I went to see Star Wars. I was quoting it as it goes. One doesn't think of fun when balancing the universe, but this does put a smile on my face. Yes, Infinity War, which, as of this recording, we are... Come on, show my countdown.
You have a day countdown?
Yeah, 114 days away from Infinity War.
So, am I to assume correctly, sir, that you will be there first day?
I'm going to find the local IMAX theater, which, I mean, we have an IMAX theater in Cleveland, but it's actually at our science center, so they don't really show movies. I think I have to go down to Columbus. It's something that I'm highly, highly considering doing, just because I'm so pumped for this fucking movie. I might cry watching it.
Holy shit. I hope it lives up to the expectations. Carp, are you as passionate about this movie as Heavyset?
Yeah, first day, no question about it. I got vacation. I may just take the Friday off and go the Thursday night.
Yeah.
It looks really, really good. I mean, Marvel's just done it right since Iron Man 1. They've had very few missteps in building this entire universe, and it just continues to be amazing. Infinity War, to bring it all together, especially just before it, Black Panther we got in a month from now. I can't. Marvel and Disney just, oh, what's that? Oh, sure, just here's money. Just do it. We know it'll be great.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer's amazing. And to bring all these characters again together, the budget must be fucking ridiculous. But they know they're going to make a shit ton of money. They don't care.
And, I mean, we haven't spoken about it since, but Fox getting purchased by Disney.
Yeah, that's huge.
What is that going to mean for 2019?
I think that's going to be very big on the next phase after, I think, what's the latest movie they have announced?
Dark Phoenix Rising or Dark Phoenix? Or
no, I'm talking about Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh.
I know it's still coming out with the Fox films that were planned, but the phase after the second, or the not the second, technically the fourth Avengers, but I was saying the second Infinity War, that's not, they said they're not going to announce the name until later because supposedly the name's going to have a spoiler. But I think there's like one or two movies planned after that, but nothing for, like, we don't know what's coming out beginning of May of 2020.
Because right now we have Black Panther, Infinity War, Ant-Man and Wasp, which is also supposed to come out this year. I understand they've wrapped production and they're in post-production. Then after that, we're finally going to get a Captain Marvel movie. I think Brie Larson's going to kill it as Captain Marvel, so that should be good. Then another Avengers film in 2019, Saturday, May 3rd. After that, another Spider-Man movie that July, Guardians 3, and still in development, Black Widow. So
how good do you think Black Panther is going to do? Because it's definitely a nice change to see like an African-American dominated cast like this.
Its pre-sales are already beating Captain America Civil War.
Awesome. I'm really glad to see that.
I'm going the Friday for sure.
No, it's got a different edge to it too, which I like. It's different. I'm probably going to see this in theaters as well. What else are we looking forward to in 2018? We've got Aquaman. No Aquaman love.
Dude, he's just... Oh, yeah, man. Woo. Aquaman. I talked to fish. I beat up the bat. Tubular. Awesome.
Oh, come on. He's not Michelangelo.
I was waiting for the thumb and pinky thing that the Hawaiians do.
All right. So
Solo.
Yeah.
A Star Wars story.
Yeah. So are you okay with, you know, we obviously got to move on from Harrison Ford.
My biggest gripe about that movie is the fact that they're coming out with it in the summer. I liked the whole tradition. Granted, I have a tradition of going to see these Star Wars movies right around Christmas. But I feel, you want to get the summer blockbusters. I get it. I really do get it. But when you set them around Christmas, you set them in December where it's not come out from the heat and come into our air conditioners, come out from the cold, enjoy the heat and enjoy this movie. Not as many, you know, franchises are trying to come out in the winter. And I feel like Star Wars helps stand out. I don't know why, especially with Disney. Okay, you're coming out with movies year round, but you know the summer blockbuster movie season is huge. Like, just keep Star Wars in the winter and nobody's going to hate you for it.
Do you think now that Disney has owned it, they're coming out with Star Wars movies pretty much every year, they're going to milk the shit out of it, get good return on their investment. But do you think it's going to lose that kind of allure that the people with the rose-colored glasses who enjoyed those original three movies, and now you're seeing a new one every year, do you think you're going to kind of lose that passion for it because you're getting it watered down?
No, Star Wars is still going to sell. It is a much shorter time, but people are still going to go. I have no idea what's coming out against it. Solo. Yeah, there's nothing really.
I know it's going to do well, say, the next couple ones. But, you know, say 5 years when you're coming up with two Star Wars movies a year. Do you think just that passion drops out and people and the hardcore, the diehard fans just lose interest?
What they need to do is do one halfway through the summer, because there's usually a cool down end of June to beginning of July. They'll have either a cool down or they'll have a big July 4th one, and then I would release it a couple of weeks after that, and then do one at Christmas. If you keep at least 6 months separation, people will still go.
So you think you can sustain, say, 5-10 years of two Star Wars movies a year with a six-month delay?
I mean, it depends how they wrap up Episode 9. It depends how they wrap up the Skywalker storyline.
What is coming out with about two a year? Are you just thinking that's where they're going to get to?
Yeah, because they're not there yet. I mean, because Solo only comes out in May, and then there's no other Star Wars movie listed for 2018.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Just because this one came out around, you know, Christmas time, and the Solo one came out in the summer. I thought they were doing kind of a six-month increment.
No. Well, Solo's coming out at the end of May. I figured, because they're both Disney properties, Avengers will start cooling down after a month, give or take. You know, they'll still be pulling in whatever million, but then bam, another big Disney property coming out once again.
Gotcha. So they're just fucking pumping that theater fucking with a bunch of Disney stuff. Makes sense. Yeah. All right. What about Deadpool 2? I am very much looking forward to this.
I have a feeling it's going to get pushed back to the end of summer for post-production, but yeah, definitely going to check it out.
It's the first movie, best social marketing ever used to promote a film. They're doing it again, having like a Bob Ross fucking parody. Just these guys get it, and I have such great expectations for this movie, especially if Ryan Reynolds has any part of the creative process. He just knows this character, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Heavy set.
This is on my list. This is another one I wish they would have kept around the same time that the original came out, because I felt like it was a different Valentine's Day movie, and that's what helped it stand out, but I can understand trying to get into the summer blockbuster market.
What do you guys think of Alicia Vikander playing Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider?
They should have let that property go away. It's not a movie. I feel it's not a movie property.
Yeah.
I mean, Vikander is a beautiful woman, but
she's an amazing actress.
I do not see her doing a good Lara Croft, but that's me.
Heavy. Any thoughts on Tomb Raider?
Never been a Tomb Raider fan of the video game. Never seen the original Tomb Raider movie. Might not go see this one.
Did you guys happen to catch a trailer? John Cena's next comedy, Blockers. It comes out in first week of April. He plays like a single dad, and he's basically trying to cock block his daughter from having sex at a kid's party or whatever.
I've seen a preview for that.
Oh my God.
At the when I was watching, I think it was Bad Moms.
I cannot wait to see I want to see Blockers.
Tom Hardy is playing Venom. Holy shit.
That's still on rumor.
Okay. Well, it's supposed to come out in October. So
I don't think we're seeing Venom in this year.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I hope I'm wrong, but I personally don't see it. We're also supposed to get a new Predator movie this year.
X-Men Dark Phoenix? No.
I do not like how Fox uses the Phoenix, how it's part of her. The Phoenix is like a celestial force in the universe that possesses Jean Grey. It's not supposed to be part of her. And like the nerd in me doesn't like it.
Oh, okay. Heavy, you a fan of X-Men?
I'm not huge on them, but I've seen, I think, every X-Men movie. I'll probably go see it.
Hold on. Rampage? Like the NES video game Rampage?
Yes.
Fuck off.
It looks so bad.
Is the Rock in? Is that the Rock?
It is the Rock.
Looks better
than Battleship, but not too much. Yeah.
Rampage. Oh my God. I used to love that fucking game. Ready Player One? It seems overproduced.
No, not for me.
Seems overproduced. There's something that just rubs me the wrong way with that trailer.
Super Troopers 2.
Yeah, No,
April 20th on 420. Yeah. Wah, wah.
That makes sense. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought Paul Rudd could play a fucking superhero? Never know. All right.
There's supposed to be a Purge sequel, a prequel called The Purge Island. I'm looking forward to that.
Huh, cool.
It's, apparently, they throw a bunch of people on an island and they test the first Purge.
Yeah. So. Cool. Okay. Yeah, I love that concept.
We're also supposed to get MI6 this summer. Mission Impossible 6.
Mm-hmm. Pass.
I know why you don't like him, but I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan, so I'll watch them all. I love them all.
The most recent one I really, really liked.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Even Ghost Protocol, even though it was like a little bit lovey-dovey there, but I liked them all, man. I think he can still go. I like a lot of Tom Cruise movies.
Yeah, that whole Dark Universe thing did so well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't just him, though. That was just terribleness.
Yeah.
I had hope for that. I honestly did.
The Strangers sequel. I don't know if you guys seen the original Strangers. It's Liv Tyler and her boyfriend. They're at a cabin, and like these crazy killers come after them. And it's at the end. It's like, why did you attack us? Why did you kill us? Because you were home. And just the way that ended, I was like, oh my God. And the sequel's coming. So I'm kind of looking forward to that as a horror movie guy.
There you go. Awesome. Anything else we want to talk about before we end the show?
What else we got here? No. Rampage, no.
I think we're good. Yeah, it's going about an hour already. So it's already an hour. All right, let's close the show. Plugs, final thoughts. Heavy set, go.
Of course, you can find me on the brand new Trending Topics Network with a wonderful show called Wrestling Cheers. Hoping to get a lot more in this year with Wrestling Cheers. I'm about 90% sure hanging with Heavy's pretty much done. I might throw out two episodes that I wanted to do and then let that be it. But I'm kind of concentrating more with Wrestling Cheers. I already have episodes planned up into the beginning of April, mainly because when AIW runs and I already have three episodes or interviews ready to be posted when certain weeks come, I just have to record intros and outros, and that's pretty much it. So, yeah, Wrestling Cheers is like the main concern for me right now. So head on over to whatamaneuver.net and pick yourself up a Wrestling Cheers shirt or hoodie. And eventually, I have a wonderful Canadian friend who said he was going to make me a commercial about a month ago.
Yeah, happening. It's in the works. I'm just signing the contracts and that. We'll get that done.
Okay.
Get the paperwork done. Carp, where can we find you online?
At Killer Carp DM, as always. Recent episode of All Beer Inside, episode 21, Cleveland Rocks, Fuck Buffalo, is available on iTunes. It's supposed to be available on Google Play, but for some reason, the link's broken, so I have to figure that out. We do have an Amazon link all the way at the bottom of the page. If you want to buy something on Amazon and support All Beer Inside, that would be super awesome of you. Go to allbeerinside.com, scroll to the bottom of the page. To purchase your product costs you nothing extra and gives a little bit back to the guys for All Beer Inside. As of this recording, we'll have already recorded the next episode of All Beer Inside, but hey, tweet All Beer Inside anytime. Email us allbeerinside@gmail.com anytime. Get your stuff in. We can talk about it. Me and Old School aren't trying to murder each other anymore yet.
Dude, bromance. The bromance is alive.
As I said, yet. You never know. other people may coerce us into attacking each other.
Won't happen. You can't break the bromance. Dude, we went to fucking sushi together, man.
That is true.
Sushi Plus.
And
the bromance.
Phil, unfortunately, will not be on the next All Beer Inside as he's promoting his newest game at PAX San Antonio. So if you see Spearhead Games while you're at PAX San Antonio, go speak to the Asian guy. That would be Mixmaster Phil if you want to go meet him.
There you go. Awesome. You can find me at oldmovies.net. That's oldmoviesdot.net on Twitter. Oldschoolmovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe. And wait for it. We got a new podcast coming out. It'll be, okay, this is releasing the Sunday. The Monday, it's a personal kind of a blog, an audio blog, a journey of my weight loss. I've lost, as of this recording, 120 pounds. Maintained my weight over the various trips and the holidays, which I was, that was my only goal, to just not gain weight, and I did it. So now I'm going to be focusing more on losing weight. But yeah, if you want to know how I lost all that weight, if you want to learn about intermittent fasting, it's going to be very much a hanging with Heavy. I'm totally stealing his idea because he's not doing it anymore anyways.
And my posting date. Okay.
What happened? What?
I was always posting on Monday.
Oh, well, really? I did. I had no idea.
Sunday night at midnight. So technically Monday morning.
I had no idea because I just downloaded during the week. Oh, there you go. So I, you know what? Heavy Set's retiring, hanging with Heavy. I'm bringing mine. My podcast, it's called 450. It's going to be 450podcast.com. And also you're going to be able to download it on the brand new Trending Topics Network. It's going to be a labor of love. And it's the first time I ever do a solo podcast. And it's the first time I ever talk about myself, really, apart from hanging with Heavy. So if you want to know more about me, how I lost my weight, intermittent fasting, all that shit, check out 450podcast.com. So for Carp, Heavy Set, this is Old School saying thank you very much for listening.
From the twisted mind of Stephen King, master of horror, suspense, and really inconsistent movie adaptations.
People really should learn to keep their hands to themselves.
Comes the scary clown movie that was so scary, it killed the actual clown industry? Thank you, movie. Thank you so much. It. Life in Derry, Maine has its ups and clowns because Pennywise is lurking in the gutter. And this piece of it will eat you alive, unless he just feeds on people's fear.
Tasty, tasty, beautiful fear.
Or maybe he eats you alive and feeds on your fear.
Feast on your flesh as I feed on your fear.
Or maybe he'll just scare you real bad and leave you alone. It's kind of muddled. Rule of thumb, main characters get spooked, everyone else is clown food. Journey to the idyllic child murder capital of America.
People die or disappear 6 times the national average.
And meet a loser's club full of Goonies and Lost Boys. Kids who'd beat One Direction fans in a screaming contest. There's the leader, the sick one, the bookworm, the kid from Stranger Things, in glasses, the girl one, and also the other two, whose character development got cut for time. Mike doesn't say a word for 45 minutes of screen time. Do you really want to turn one of the book's main characters into the Winston of the movie? Really? Okay, movie, you're the movie. Thrill as each child's fear preys on them in a unique form. Just try not to notice that it preys on them in the exact same way, where the kid will go off on their own. Notice something out of the ordinary.
Look like a nice boy.
Help me, please.
And slowly walk towards it.
Hello?
Until a monster pops out. Y'all know you can just say nope and walk the other way, right? Problem solved. Ride the wave of nostalgia that's still sweeping Hollywood and get your required dose of 80s pop culture like New Kids on the Block, Mullets, that terrible Street Fighter game, that time in school where girls have started puberty but boys are still years off.
We're in the same class.
Not knowing how AIDS works.
My mom's friend in New York City got it by just by touching a dirty pole in the subway and enough of AIDS blood got into his system through a hangnail.
And of course, the kid from Stranger Things, which makes you nostalgic for Stranger Things, which makes you nostalgic for the 80s, which makes you nostalgic for Stephen King's It. And the circle is complete. Feast on this enjoyable movie adaptation of a popular TV adaptation of a creepy book that managed to out-creep Tim Curry and wisely punted the boring adult stuff that no one remembers to the sequel, plus made some radical departures from the original book, ditching the 50s era, that preteen gangbang scene, and the appearance of Maturin, the god turtle, who teaches Billy how to perform the magic ritual of Chud. You guys made that one up. No? Really? That's in there? Wow, makes sense to cut it, but at the same time, I kinda wanna see that. So enjoy a horrifying trip down memory lane that cements clowns as the scariest childhood thing since dolls and puppets, making boatloads of cash for everyone involved, and guarantees that somebody somewhere just greenlit a Maximum Overdrive remake. I don't know if I'm ready for another Stephen King-assance, you guys. It's gonna be a bumpy ride. Starring Dorky Pig, way more important in Chapter 2, Kyle Bruflovsky. Why write a joke when your real name is Finn Wolfhard? OG Chunk, Young Sheldon, Justice for Bev, but Doctor, I am Pagliacci, and the Insane Clown Posse. Stephen King's. Batman came out on June 23rd, and Lethal Weapon 2 came out on July 7th, so Derry either gets movies really early, school gets out really late, or they wanted to give us one more hit of that sweet, sweet nostalgia.